Hello and welcome back to a new season of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course on our podcast. I'm Ailey Packham and we are delighted to be back with you in association with the ever wonderful Flowers Unlimited. So then, here we go. Season 2026-27 is upon us and we kick our first ball in anger on Thursday night as we head all the way to the Arctic Circle to face Tromso in the Conference League qualifier first leg, and that is of course before the season opener at the Amex on Sunday with Aston Villa, our first visitors in the Premier League. So what have we learned since we last spoke in May? Well, one player we certainly didn't think we'd be going into the season without is Danny Welbeck, who has left to join Chelsea and has left what can only be described as a Danny Welbeck shaped hole both in our squad on and off the pitch. One move that we could have predicted was that of Jan-Paul van Hekker, who has joined up with Roberto De Zerbi at Spurs. Other permanent departures have seen Joel Veltman go to West Ham, Diego Coppola go to Paris FC, and Kyle Rushworth go to Coventry. We've also seen Andrew Cross link up with his old boss at Spurs. We have, of course, seen some new arrivals, though, mostly in defence, with us breaking our transfer record to bring in Luka Vucevic from Spurs. Pascal Struyck joins from Leeds, Costina from Olympiakos, and Michael Svoboda from Venezia. We've also brought in winger Zadok Johanna from AIK. However, with us hopefully challenging on four fronts this season, do we have enough depth? Well, to discuss that and to give our fabled pre-season predictions, I have assembled our usual orchestra of minds. Firstly, of course, with Alan Wares, with Andy Bass, Marcus Hancock is here, and so is Vicky Rees. Hello, everybody, and happy new season. How are we all feeling before we kick the first ball in anger?
Excited.
Well, it's nice.
You're excited? Okay.
It's nice to get into a competition that's not completely run by totally corrupt international crooks.
Well, I don't know. They're not
perfect. And of course, they did sidestep kicking Palace out of a competition and dumping them into the one that they were always going to win.
We're going into the, obviously we've got Tromso on Thursday, Villa on Sunday. Having a look at the squad and the players that are available now, how are we feeling? Do we think it's strong enough? I mean, the Danny Welbeck hole is something that I am very concerned about. Marcus?
I don't like saying it, but I'm going to. But the squad that we've got should beat Tromso over the two legs, I hasten to add. It's probably going to be tight away, and I would expect us to beat them at the Amex and go through to the playoffs, but and go through to the, you know, the competition proper. But obviously, you know, it's football, etc., etc. You can only beat the opposition that put in front of you. It's 11v11 out there, etc., etc. You know, there was that stat flying around that we haven't won a two-legged affair since 2003 or something, but to be fair, we've only played about four since then, so it's not entirely relevant. But, you know, I would expect us to beat Tromso over the two legs.
Yeah. Okay, but the season as a whole, I mean, and the makeup of the squad, Vicky, what are your hopes? Are you worried that there's not enough up front?
A little bit. I think we probably underestimate we overlook quite easily the goal scoring that, you know, we were one of the stronger goal scorers in the league last season, I think.
52 goals we scored last season.
Yeah, we weren't by no means sort of relegation candidates on that front, and they were very much shared around the team, weren't they? Yes, obviously Welbeck got some, but it's not, it's still 13 goals to replace, but it's not sort of Haaland numbers, is it, where you're completely reliant on one player and most of ours were spread around. So I suppose there's a little bit of concern about the, you know, our ability to hold the ball up and that kind of game management that Welbeck had. But at the same time, you know, Welbeck wasn't perfect last season. You know, we had long spells when actually he was quite ineffective, and, you know, he had his sort of hot streaks. I'm not dismissing him as a player, of course not, but I think he certainly had a few streaks last season. There were times when the team was trash and he was trash as well, the same as any of the others. So, you know, between them, they've got to find the solution, because it doesn't really look like we're looking to sign anyone else at the moment.
I think
Well,
it's
yeah, I mean
I think
that.
it's a I think it's a bigger problem possibly off the pitch than it is on the pitch. Because I mean his seniority, his experience, his mentorship, especially for the kids that were basically half his age, was absolutely vital. But I think as Vicky says, and she pretty much nails it, is that 13 goals is a great headline, but one, I don't think there were so few games, if any, that where he started and finished the game, so there was always someone to come on for him. There were games where, and you used to say this, AD, over a beer at the West End, up, oh, Welbeck was a bit quiet, a bit anonymous, wasn't he? And then you realised that I think that sometimes that ineffectiveness, yeah, he'd drop into midfield to pick the ball up, or he'd have someone ahead of him or alongside him, what have you. And sometimes you just, there is that thing of the best players do their work unnoticed, but there are times you think, well, what is Welbeck doing? Now, obviously, that experience on the pitch is the kind of the X factor that we're not going to necessarily realise until afterwards. But if you're talking about goals scored, then as you've pointed out, AD, what we had about 600 different scorers last season.
There was a few, but I mean, and I mean a lot. I mean, as Al's just said, actually, I mean a lot of the work that Danny was doing was unnoticed. There's like the runs off the ball, making space for other players. We haven't really. I mean, we know that Georgie isn't a number nine. But he seems to be going into the start of the season in that position. Obviously, we got Babbitt's got Tsimikas to come back. Are we putting a lot of? I mean, Paul Barber said pre-season at the forum that Danny wasn't going to get as many minutes this season anyway, and the hope was we're going to put. We spent a lot of money on Babbitt. We've got spent money on Tsimikas, and we've got to give them an opportunity.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with that. I mean, the problem at the moment is that Tsimikas is not available. I agree with the point in general, and to be honest, I'm quite excited about that. I'm very excited about both Tsimikas and Babis. I would like to see them play more. I'd like to see Tsimikas play now, but unfortunately he can't. But hopefully not for too much longer. As regards like Welbeck's. He's been working with those players for a while in the background and stuff. They've already benefited from Welbeck's sort of experience. I also think there's a real air of like a new broom around Lancing at this off season with the restructuring of the defence. Well, I think I think because we haven't signed anybody for a while, everyone's getting a bit frustrated with the transfer window. But I think we've done some really good work getting those new defenders in, and all of them look pretty good already. And I think, Hertzler got his new contract. He just seems to have had like a new lease of life this summer. He seems bright, confident. And I just think now this is Hertzler's team for good or ill. It's, on his head be it eventually. But I think there's a confidence now in like this team is now moving into a different phase. We're kind of like moving out of like the post Deserbi phase and now into the sort of new in this is into the Hertzler era proper. And we're doing it with younger players, some of whom we haven't seen a lot of. So there's a lot of skepticism about whether they're going to be any good or not. I'm more confident than some of my friends are in that, and I've had many circuitous conversations about it, but we'll find out who's right when we see him play, I guess. But yeah, I am excited by the prospect of this newness. I would say though, like we're minted against getting injured at the weekend, we are a bit short. I know, my glass is half full all the time, and I'm constantly arguing with people, but even though it would be churlish for me to ignore the fact that we are a bit short. I think we've got enough players. I think as regards to like Georgie not being like a number nine, no, he isn't, and he never has been. And even when we signed him from Leeds, that wasn't the strengths that we signed. He created goals at Leeds rather than scored them.
Okay, Vicky?
Yeah, I think one thing that strikes me is that there's a lot of focus on the attack side of things, and I understand why, but actually, the strength in our team last season was as much from the defence as anything else, because I think we had the third best defence in the league.
We
We
was
did.
the third best, yeah.
We
46
really
goals
were.
conceded,
Yeah.
goal difference of plus six, 10 clean sheets last season.
Yeah, and I think it was just Arsenal and City that had a better defence, wasn't
That's
it?
right.
Yeah, we had that. We had a really strong defence last season, and I think we've now lost Van Hekke from it, albeit our defence would have been even stronger if Van Hekke hadn't completely biffed it for the last 3 months of the season. But we've lost him. Reading, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the last two friendlies of the season, we have played Vukcevic and Boscagli in defence. Yes, Dunk came on at half time in the first one, and then after 65 minutes in the second. But it does tend to lead you to sort of think that perhaps that's the starting 11. No Veltman as well. So actually, there's as much cause to look at of where we're going to be defensively as well. And there's no reason, they're clearly both good players. They're obviously rating Vukcevic very highly, and if you watch his videos from last season, he looks amazing. But that's something we're going to have to come to terms with as well, and that defensive unit be as strong as the one that we had last season.
I met him the other day. He's an absolute giant of a man. He's huge, but he towers above Nick Trepanic, who is a very tall man,
He
which is
speaks well of you
incredible.
too.
Which is incredible. But Andy, I mean, you did quite a lot of homework on Hörsler when he came over here and what he was doing with Sampaoli and the formation that he preferred to employ over there was a three at the back. And if you look at the transfer business that we have done, there's a lot of defenders that have actually come in. Do you think that is his plan to actually like bring that back into play? Well, I think he said he still wants to play four at the back, but I don't think like a Hertzler team stays rigid in any one particular shape. Players move forward, go back, cover, counter. He expects his players to do a lot, and it's not to like just stay in their little pigeonhole. The whole point of Hertzler ball is that the team is quite fluid, and you look at the. I've only seen the highlights of the Bologna game, but in the 6 or 7 minutes that the Albion put out, looking at the chances
They
that
did well the
we
final 6 minutes, to be honest.
well, in that brief 6 minutes, but the chances that we created, again, it's like it is people moving forward, coming, passing back to the person that's making the late run, Hinch poaching the goal. Absolute, it's a kind of a classic Hertzler goal, really, where it's you're kind of bamboozling the defense, and we created several other chances where we should have like buried a few from like 6 yards out, to be honest. But
We
so
overplayed a
there you could
lot.
argue maybe the striker is missing, but all those people are capable of scoring from there.
I mean, one of the key features I felt from the Bologna game was, I mean, obviously, I mean, Bologna were very well organised. They came four banks of four, break us down, kind of thing. But we had
Did you say
everything was
four
so.
banks of four? That's cheating.
That is cheating. Two bags of four. You know what I mean? It was, but they were really organised. It was come and break us down. But obviously, with Minte being out for up to 3 months, we think that was what the word in the press room was on at the weekend. There was no real width. We were doing that thing where Diego Gomez was on one side and Ferdy on the other. And I think if you're going into a game against Tromsø where you're trying not to lose. More than first and foremost, I think that will kind of work. But we really, really miss having that Minte kind of player or having a Matoma available at the moment.
Let me ask this question of you, and I think I know the answer, but let me ask it of you anyway. Where you're talking about whether they're going to have a three with wing backs or a back five or a back four. For the two games against Roma and Bologna, certainly to start with, did he play with a four or a five at the
It was a
back?
four.
Right. I think that tells you all you need to know, because if you're going to play a five at the back, what you don't do is muck about and, in your last two main practice matches, and do that. So I think that probably tells you what you need to know. And also, I suspect that probably if we were going to go at three, you'd probably want at least one more defender, because you really do have to have a backup with that.
I think they right. I think that team that will play finished, well, not finished, but the mix-up of the team that started will be the one that will start Tromso on Thursday.
I mean, the thing I think about, I can't remember who it was that said it, but a few minutes ago, is the writing on the wall that the starting pair at the back will be Boscagli and Vukcevic. Now, we don't know that. Who knows? I mean, sometimes Dunk is just kept out of it because the boss knows what he can do. So he wants to try new blood, and if you're going to do it, you do it then. And it could be that those two are the starting lineup
Yeah.
against Tromso with a
We
view to, because don't forget, for this week, Hertzler has to pick two teams. And, if we are a bit light, I mean, one is one thing being light because you haven't acquired, but it's another thing being light when everyone's getting crocked. Yeah.
I'd start Boskagi against Tromso because he does have European experience.
Sure.
And Dunk will play against Villa, possibly.
Well,
But,
Dunk hasn't played that much pre-season, even behind the closed doors, because he has been carrying a bit of a knock. So it's not a
He
surprise he
needs
hasn't
games.
necessarily been starting games.
Dunk is a player that needs games to be at his best, doesn't he? That's the problem
Yeah.
with when he does get injured, is that it usually takes him two or three games to kind of get back to where
Sure. Okay.
he wants to be. I'm not one of those people thinking he's finished, not for a second, but the fact that Boscagli's been playing, you think it's probably going to be him starting,
Okay.
and even
Well,
against Villa potentially.
one does
okay, well,
wonder,
that's
sorry, can I just say, one does wonder if he's getting into the Danny Welbeck part of his career, by which I mean, yeah, he's still vital around the team, around the squad. I'm just throwing this out there as a supposition with no evidence whatsoever. But like I say, because Welbeck didn't start and finish that many games, I mean, out of the 38 times 90 minutes that there were last season, he played probably what, two thirds of them.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen with Lewis Dunk if he's that crocked? Because, like I say, I think his experience, not just around the team, but also, sorry, not just around the club, but around the team. And I think it was a time where Boscagli and someone else and Van Hekker were playing at the back. And I think there was a bit of a doozy of a defensive muck up. And by the time Lewis Dunk came back in, you could see him tidy it all up again. And it's like I say, it's not as though he's massively mobile, but the experience, it's as Bill Shankly said, the first 2 yards are in your head. I don't know, I'm just throwing that one out there.
But I don't think he's the sort of player that you can just throw in and out. I think he needs to be playing regularly,
Yeah,
and that's the
you're
thing.
probably right there, yeah.
Great.
Time will tell. Okay, well let's have a look at the players that we have brought in then. So first up, Luka Vucevic, 46 million from Spurs, record signing. Defensive is it a defensive investment? Is one of the words bandied around. It's one of Europe's top teenage centre backs prospects. He announced himself in brilliant style in the game against Roma with an absolute crunching tackle right in front of the north stand, which and they love that a lot. And I think he's going to be a crowd favourite very quickly.
Yeah, well, Özil himself has said many a time, I know I'm not his greatest fan, but I do agree with him. He wants more physicality. So if there's going to be more crunching tackles, hopefully he won't be tightrope on suspensions for throughout the season, because we could
We have enough defenders.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, there is that, but more, good is the art, basically. That's what we need. We have been a bit lightweight at times, so it's he's good to see.
I know his defence did concede four goals, but I actually thought he was neat and tidy against England in the World Cup.
I thought he was good in the first half against England, to be
Yeah.
honest. I mean, he did get some criticism, but Kane was on absolute fire in that game and he
Yeah.
would have burnt anybody.
But I mean, he's really highly rated. Spurs fans are absolutely fuming that they've actually let him go. And obviously, not huge difference in the price tag from what we got for Van Hekker. So, I mean, it's 46 million does seem to be a lot of money for us.
That's just the market, though, Adi. That's just like, and centre half is a premium position now, and that's what good ones cost. And like, if you get it right, then it's a solid investment.
But another player that we've seen arrive is Pascal Struyck, 18 million from Leeds, left-sided centre back.
Can't say I know too much about him because, let's face it, wherever I can, I don't watch Leeds.
I think he's one of those players that they didn't want to leave, and their
He's
fans
massively
booed
popular there,
him.
yeah.
But as soon as it became clear he was going to leave, his ability in their eyes disintegrated very quickly.
What was it about him that, what is it about either us or Leeds that tempted him down here in that case? Because I mean, he was still been a Premier League
Well,
player, wouldn't he?
he's been at the Leeds for quite a long time, hasn't he? And sometimes you just want a change of environment. Maybe he quite liked the idea of all the other Dutch people here. I don't know. Maybe he fancied our chances more than them, or it could be all number, or maybe we offered him more money, because at the end of the day, I don't know where he was in his contract with Leeds. Presumably he was still under contract if we've paid 18 million quid for him. But it may well be that the Albion have sort of made him a contract offer and they've sold him the plan, and you know, we wanted a left-sided player, and there is the European football. I'm not entirely convinced that the Conference League holds the weight with players, as a lot of people seem to think. And sometimes when there's transfers being mooted, you'll hear people go, "Oh, you know, we can offer European football." I'm pretty sure most players in the Premier League, unless you're coming from a team in a division below or right at the bottom, you don't sell yourself for the Europa League or the Conference League. It's all about the Champions League. But you know, it's something else there, and it probably enhances his chances of playing as well, because you know, he will know, because we'd already signed Vukcevic, I think, by that point. And knowing that there's players coming in, and we've since signed Svoboda as well. So I think he'll have known that, but actually with the Conference League, he's probably thinking, you know, I've got a good chance of getting opportunities.
Yeah, and he's got a good goal scoring record as well. He's scored 12 goals for Leeds. In 180 odd games, which for a central defender is pretty good going.
Well, I think Vukcevic got half of that last season.
Yeah.
It'd be
I
nice to
with
have.
his goal scoring threat. He did actually win quite a crashing header against Bologna. I don't didn't see the Roma game, but he did win a nice sort of
He
attacking header
he
in that
missed an
Roma game.
absolute he missed an absolute sitter from a corner. But I mean, he is a because of his height, he is a towering presence. Pascal Gross put in a good corner. I mean, he's amazing.
Well, it's no,
It's a curate egg of a corner,
I think the
but
thing that's a, I
straight
think the
onto his
thing that's
head.
the same old is big central defenders getting a good clean header at a corner and it ballooning into row Z.
It
We're
reminded me of
good at
George
that.
Santos, that header.
Exactly.
50p head.
So yeah, I again, strengthening the central defence where it needed strengthening. Like I say, we seem to have lost one, gained two. And if that's the basis for, and I suspect that there's a possibility that those who were at the club then, and Hertzler himself, have looked at what went wrong previously in the season where we were in Europe, and like to think that they're having to go up, sort of not making those mistakes again. Albeit, I think that probably when we were in Europe, as much as they tried to mitigate the fact that we've got this extra competition and all this extra travelling, they tried to get some, you know, new players. I mean, I remember like Ansu Fati was playing, but then we ended up getting Doofus playing for us as well, you know, one of the kids. So as much as they tried to get new players in because we're in so many competitions, I think it's almost like getting quality over quantity this time.
Another player that we have signed is João Pedro. Yes, we have signed João Pedro Costina, because well, that is his full name, which we signed for 11 million from Olympiacos. He's an energetic fullback, probably to replace Veltman. I quite liked, I've seen him a couple in the pre-season games against Roma and Bologna. Didn't get too many minutes, but he certainly seemed to like to get forward, and was always trying to be positive, which is what we need. Because I mean,
Can he defend?
well,
He
we've
did
got.
make a very good recovery tackle actually in the Bologna game. I can't remember, but it was in the second half, and he came back out of nowhere and made the tackle. I think it was him anyway. It might have been Svoboda, but somebody did anyway.
Fair enough.
But he's been sold to us as kind of a not dissimilar to De Kuyper, in that, you know, perhaps, I don't know, do you really get fullback stroke wing backs these days who are outstanding defenders and just outstanding attackers? It tends to be people who are one or the other, doesn't it? In most teams, you've got, you know, players that bomb forward. Look at Andy Robertson, he used to get all those assists for Liverpool, but actually in the last 3 or 4 years he's been absolute trash in defence.
Always
So
found him a bit of a cart horse.
Trent Alexander-Arnold is the obvious one, isn't he? I should block him, but
But I think
yeah.
also what you've got there, and the point you're making, you mentioned De Kuyper, and you could probably argue that about Cadioglu as well, is that now we've got the balance on both sides that we can do that. Because previously we had Cadioglu and De Kuyper, they would have been playing together, but you also got the feeling that one wasn't really that well suited. Yeah, they're versatile enough that one can play on the right-hand side, but when their preference is to play on the left, then you'd like to think, well, okay, is now Hertzler going for a more balanced thing, that he actually might do that wing back style thing? Because you know, you were talking about two central defenders, but we're very fluid. Then we've always got the retreating midfielder now. the star of the show when he's on form is Belabor, and he's out as well, which is great. Ironically, even though he's our player, it ruined Manchester United's plans. So go figure.
I did see Belabor on Saturday, and he was doing his silly little runny thing in the tunnel, which was like after we win. So I was pleased
Yeah,
to see that.
but the gaffer was going loopy at him, saying, "Look, if you're broken, stop it."
He was just messing. He was just messing.
I'd hope
Okay, and
so.
another player who's come to give us hope, Johanna, give us hope, Johanna, is Zadok Johanna, who's a right winger from AIK. £26 million for this pacey wide option.
Please,
Well, looks
please,
like he
please,
might.
Andy, someone, can you start this, because I'm not going to take it. Is his nickname the priest?
Apparently so. I
Good.
don't believe.
Good. So it
But
should be.
anyway,
What?
well, it's the music,
Zadok the
isn't
priest.
it? Zadok the Priest.
Champions League. Please. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, the Champions League music.
Cultural
Looks like
referencer, AD.
he
Sorry
might
about that.
looks like he might get some game time now that we're so
Minty.
depleted on the in the wide areas. I always thought that we would keep him around the squad when we signed him, despite his youth and inexperience. Looking at his highlight reels, which are always
Yeah.
taken with a pinch of salt. But he does look very physical, very attacking. He likes to he's always looking to go forward, and he's quite exciting. The ball kind of sticks to his feet a little bit, but clearly like a raw talent coming from a league that is below the quality of the Premier League. But
Yeah.
I think there's only one way he's going to get used to it, and that is
Getting
by
kicked
getting
up in the air.
involved. Yeah.
And I
Well,
think he's coming on as a sub in these friendlies. I think that's really useful. I think he'll be a bit part player
yeah.
in the early part of the season, and I think he gives us an option.
Yeah, I mean, Hertzler has actually said that he is a player that we want to keep around at least for the first half of the season. So there's a possibility he might go out in January, but he wants him to get acclimatized, get used to the rough and tumble of the Premier League, and see what happens. But I mean, obviously, with the injury to Minté, that has affected what we're actually going to do in regards to, because we've got a few other wingers. Obviously, Ibrahim Osman has come back from loan. He did very well at Birmingham last year. He's been doing amazingly well pre-season, and he's a player that certainly has caught the eye of the manager. And I think it was probably one who's going to be earmarked to go out on loan. But ne I think he's done enough, particularly with the injury to Yankuba, that he might actually be stuck around and actually be given an opportunity, which is great. But then you've also got Kozia Dubery as well, who's another player who's massively in demand. Brilliant season for Bolton last year. And, he's one that is really, really highly rated here. So, I mean, I think one of those, at least one of those, is going to go out on loan. I just don't know which one.
nor do they at the moment.
I suspect they do.
I think Kozia Dubery is the one, because he's the one not getting game time, and
Dubry is
that's where the
from.
noise is. Osman's actually impressed.
Cozy do. Our Alan's friend Fab is chatting about possibly a move anyway. Albion have not back a bid. So,
Ain't Alan's friend Fab.
yeah, Alan's friend Fabrizio, whatever his name is.
Not
The,
that Fab.
oh, no.
Fabricazio.
You know, Fabrizio Romano, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That's him, yeah. I'm just looking actually on a
It's
headline
named after a
here.
type of cabbage.
Brighton rejects £7.5 million bid from Rangers for Kozia Dubery.
Well, I don't know if that's true, obviously, because it's Fabrizio, but yeah,
Well, no,
so.
it's the BBC who are actually saying this now. But having said that, if Fabricazio is still the source, then yeah, a massive pot of salt to hand required.
Those figures would not be appropriate, I would say. Bearing in mind, we paid more than that for him, I think. But
Who
okay,
knows?
well, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. And once again, we're delighted to be brought to you in association with the brilliant Flowers Unlimited, Alan. And we've had a chat with our good friend Dave, and we're going to have a few more competitions this year.
Well, we fully intend to, but first and foremost, thank you very much indeed to Dave Costa for agreeing to what is now our third season as sponsor of the Albion Roar. Very, very, very generous of you, very kind. So First, a little bit about the business. It's located at 174. Actually, everyone knows this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When we had the Americans on here, they were repeating the address back to me as I was saying it. So that's how often I've said it. 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. It says here Portland Road, East Sussex, Brighton and Hove, Hove, BN3 5QJ. That's Google for you. Well played. I could even give you a telephone number for once. 01273 796000 or flowersunlimitedbrighton.co.uk. But it's for flowers for all occasions. But while you're at it, get some champagne there or maybe even some chocolates from there. So yeah, pop over there. Any occasion that you wish, birthday, anniversary, congratulations, commiserations, up yours even. Do head over to Flowers Unlimited. And don't forget, if you tell them that you're an Albion season ticket holder, you'll get 20% discount, which is actually pretty generous going. So, yeah, Flowers Unlimited, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. And talking of flowers, hello, Phil.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of sponsors, our former sponsor, Phil Shelley from Old Football, formerly of oldfootballshirts.com, I should probably say, has joined us.
He heard the word sponsors and couldn't get here quick enough.
I know.
Sorry, I'm late.
It's all right. Okay, so yes, into part two then, AD. What else have you got on the agenda for us? Do tell.
Well, that's a very good question. So obviously we've got a few players that we've seen go as well. We've mentioned, we're not going to give too much into that, but obviously Joel Veltman, we were very sad to see go, but that was always going to be predicted. But just as we were talking about him on the last show of the season about what he's going to offer to the side this year, Solly March left literally an hour after we finished recording.
Good at that. And I also said, yeah, so long as he doesn't go to Palace.
But
and what's the talk of the summer?
Well, I
do you think actually, is it a genuine thing, or do you think there's some Palace social media bod just putting that out there just to wind us up?
He is training there.
Yeah, it's just training there.
But and he was at Palace before he went to Lewis as well.
Well, so. Him as a young boy doing the rounds in a Palace shirt, isn't there? He's about the age of 10 or something. So.
But I mean, the other ones, we a bit strange, some of them. I mean, Brian Gruder, he's gone out on loan. We're not going to see him again. But Anote has gone out on loan as well, which is another... we're either going to keep him or not. I mean, it's just do the guy a favour. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I would suspect that's more along the lines of he's wanted, but people aren't prepared to cough up a transfer fee for him.
No, maybe. Well, Tommy Watson is also, he's gone to Leicester alongside highly rated Harry Howell, who is also at the Foxes in League One. There's not really much to say about that.
Well, actually,
really,
I mean, Leicester have got some pretty decent wing options now, haven't they?
But I mean, they both played. I can't. Did they draw? I think they drew at the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, they drew 1-1. I watched the last 20 minutes.
But I know he's at Leicester. But isn't that a bit of a bizarre career path so far for Tommy Watson? You know, he's at Sunderland. They get promoted. He comes here, plays 5 minutes. Well, plays a couple of games in the League Cup. Goes out on loan to Millwall. Actually, to be fair, he was still the assist king in the League Cup last year. And now his career path is he's now in the third division, albeit at Leicester, whom I certainly, you know, if these things sort of go correctly, will get re-promoted. But that's a little bit of a strange career path, isn't it?
It is a little bit strange indeed, yeah. I mean, it's a weird one. I mean, I think it's one where maybe just Fabian just doesn't fancy him, or they don't think he's strong enough yet. But, you know, we paid 10 million quid for him, so, which is quite a lot of money still, isn't it? But
the interesting one that you haven't mentioned, I'm sure you're just about to get to him, it's not a surprise, but what it does mean is that for those who had had the arse with our original number one, is that obviously Carl Rushworth has gone. Yes. Permanently to another Premier League club, and good luck to him. You know, he's certainly earned it. But what it does mean is that for the amount of chit chat there was about Verbruggen going, you know, clearly we've got our top three is what, Verbruggen, Steele and McGill is the next one in the pecking order.
Well, McGill, the young Tom McGill, who's actually older than Verbruggen. Yeah.
I don't think he's
played a senior minute for us yet, but we had a good chat with Bart after the game. He was in good form, on Saturday. He was obviously very sad to see Van Hecke go. Apparently, he grew up with him and played all his youth football with JP. So this is like the first time that he's not really playing with him. But he's excited about the new options in front of him. I actually thought that Bart would possibly go to Bayern. That was the rumor last summer, wasn't it? And this summer, particularly with Neuer not getting any younger and getting a little bit shaky, and with Kyle Rushworth coming back, I thought that that's a goalkeeper that we've seen quite a lot, particularly those of us who saw him at Worthing and see him progress on his various loans. And every time he's been out on loan, he's come back as that club's player of the season, from Walsall to Coventry.
Well, JP did as well. I mean, Andy, have you got any thoughts on, well, one, Kyle Rushworth, sort of, again, his career path, and B, who we're left with in goal?
Well, clearly Bart was number one. He had a brilliant World Cup. He's progressing as one of the world's most exciting goalkeepers, and unfortunately, only one can play. And for Carl, being the number two here is just not really an option. And I think we've got a good deal for everybody concerned. He's done really well at Coventry. He's very happy there. He'll get lots of practice, so he'll get noticed again, and they will give him an opportunity to prove what a good goalkeeper he is. It looks like we've got some kind of buyback option, so if we do end up selling Bart, there might be an opportunity for us to get him back if we want, which I think is a nice little hedge. But we're going to be quite happy having Jason Steele as our number two, totally reliable backup, important training ground presence as well.
That's World
I think
Cup
I think it
medalist,
yeah I do,
Jason
and
Steele.
I'm pleased that Cole's got a job now, and he's not feeling kind of like professionally homeless. He's got a chance to really bed in and settle down. I wish him all the best, except for when we play them.
Well, I mean, that was a World Cup medalist, Jason Steele. You forgot to mention that.
But
But I
this
mean,
is
there's a
a
lot of
hmm.
there's a lot of hope as well. I mean, from what I've seen of him, I'd much prefer to have Rushworth, to be honest. But James Beadle, he's gone out on loan to Birmingham again. They seem to like him. England under 21 goalkeeper. So maybe there's a lot of hope. So maybe he might be able to come back and challenge. Because I mean, Jason isn't getting any younger, is he? So, but
Well, that's the thing about goalies, is they go on forever, don't they?
No. I suspect that we are going to see some more exits before the window closes. Matt O'Reilly, who was at the game on Saturday, but wasn't actually sitting with the players, bizarrely, which was a bit strange. Igor, he actually got some minutes at the weekend, didn't he, Vix?
Yeah, I don't really know why, but I guess he was the one that was fit, wasn't he, with Strouk out. So I guess that was just part of it. But I don't really. My personal opinion is I don't really see Igor as having a future here, and I think it would be best for all concerns if he goes and has a cushy gig somewhere in Syria or Portugal or wherever.
Do we see any other players going, you think, guys?
Not ones that we
Not first
particularly
team.
worried about.
No, not the first team. Some of the other kids might go out on loan, and
There's
which
been a
actually then
little bit
could.
of chatter around Ferguson, hasn't there? But I think his injury until October, I think, is probably going to put paid to that.
And then there's also that chat around Hinterwood, but that could be paper talk. But let's hope not.
I think again, that's the likes of Fabbricato putting two and two together and coming up with his own.
The rumour was very quickly put to bed on Saturday.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, he's only just signed a what, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, year deal. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And a quick word about Andrew Crofts going to Spurs as well.
Meh.
Yeah.
Well, to be
That
fair, I
says it
mean,
all,
again, it's one of those things
Vix.
that because we haven't seen it, we don't know what he's done. I mean, he was the fellow who was asked to step up when Potter was poached by Chelsea.
Well, that's because he was the only one left, Al.
Well, there is that, him and Adam Lallana. But the point is that it's not as though we've got someone else in to do it. And he's been there. He's been promoted. He brought about a very successful youth team. Some of whom have made it through to the first team. I know most of that's now done by Shannon Ruth. What it is about Spurs, well, there's obviously the pay, but also maybe he just prefers, there's a different kind of nutter that he prefers in De Zerbi compared to Hertzler. I don't know.
Well, that's
I think
clearly.
Spurs, whatever you think about them, and I think it's fair to conclude that
It's a
not in a
promotion.
positive sense, but they are undoubtedly a bigger club than us. And
Oh, of
so when
course they are, yeah.
people, they've got the best training facilities in the world, they've got the best stadium in the Premier League and probably one of the best in the world. They've got a manager who they're feeling very optimistic about. I'm sure he'll have his ups and downs this season, but you just can't see Spurs being anywhere near as crap as they were for the last two, sadly. If they were, it would be hilarious, but sadly, I think they're sort of seem to be recruiting players in the areas where they needed them. Apart from strikers, they haven't got any strikers yet. But yeah,
Snap.
that'd be better.
Yeah.
So it's totally understandable that he would, if he got an offer from Spurs. I don't think it means it doesn't say anything about his relationship with Hertzler. He's clearly going to be offered a very decent contract at a very big football club, and with players that he knows, with coaches that he knows, anyone's going to take it.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh,
Bruno's there as
absolutely.
well, isn't he? So
Sorry?
Bruno's still there as well.
Was he? Well,
But
there you go. Get the
okay, I
band back together.
mean, obviously, I mean, the Premier League is going to be a little bit of a weird one this year. There's been a lot of managerial changes, a lot of the bigger clubs. How do you see the season going? Can we actually challenge the establishment, Marcus?
No, I don't think anyone thinks that, AD.
No, not at all, mate. Not at all. Chelsea and Tottenham seem to have been sorting themselves out now, unfortunately. I think Chelsea are annoyingly good. Thankfully, Man City are probably going to, tail off a little bit, but they'll still finish third. But no, we won't. Nowhere near. Nowhere near.
I think the
Hey,
big question, I'm going to throw this one at you, Phil, because I think this is apt for you. Are Arsenal going to be just as boring as they were last year?
I can imagine they probably will be. I think they're desperately trying to work out how to get around the new laws of the game, so that Arteta can still ruin the game for the rest of us. But then again, we only have to watch them twice play Brighton a season, so we can go and enjoy all the other games.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. Well, we've got three new teams come up with Coventry, Ipswich, and Hull. Coventry, we haven't been to for a while, which we've got early doors. They're all three of those are favourites to go back down again. Obviously, Ipswich have just signed you Julian Cisse for a lot of money as well, 30 million quid for him, I think.
He did okay there. That's the point. Sorry, Vince.
I
I'll
don't
cross
think
you there.
he pulled up any trees when he was on loan there, to be honest. I think he did bits and bobs, but I mean, he had a great World Cup.
The problem with Nsiso is he's a luxury player and he is incredibly high maintenance, I think. He's one of those people that he needs constant reassurance that he's the man. He's there's not many players like him that would take eight shots in a half, is there? Because and that's that must be frustrating at times for his colleagues, for the rest of the players. If you get breaking forward and then the same bloke's just, it's like watching a kid's game, isn't it? When you've got the one good player and all the crap ones, and no one wants to give the
Yeah.
ball. The good player won't give the ball to anyone else. He just shoots
Pass it, pass it.
when he
Come
has
on,
a bad
pass it.
game. I will never get that Stoke game out of my head where we won an FA Cup game at Stoke, and he played like a pub player that day. We won the game, we finished, and he was coming off in tears because he'd been so bad, and that was all that he could think about. Never mind, what? The game's done. It's a win against a lower league team to us, and all he could think about was how badly he played. And I just thought, it must be so exhausting to manage because you're
Yeah.
constantly having to say, well done, you're all right there,
Yeah.
Put an arm around him. It's like, come on, I've got another 24 players to look after here. I can't be drying your tears every match.
Blimey.
Well,
Yeah, how are the cats, Vicky?
okay, moving swiftly on.
Sorry,
Premier
AD,
League, obviously.
just one quick thing for all that from Vicky's treatise there. Ipswich have got that problem, and I also say that Chelsea have got that problem as well with Valentin Barco. So good luck to, well, not good luck to them. I hope they get stuffed. Carry on.
Oh my God.
Ipswich have also got Gary O'Neill in charge, which I don't know if I'd be that keen on him getting our job.
That
Yeah,
would
quite.
be the. Well, he managed him at Strasbourg, didn't he? So, because
Sadly.
Gary O'Neill took over from Rossini at Strasbourg
Yeah.
last season.
Right, we
Yeah.
need to go on to some predictions here, please, AD,
Yes,
because
let's
time
go
is
on to
running
some predictions,
short.
ladies and gentlemen. So, it's that time once again where we get to prove we know absolutely bugger all about football. And, actually, we didn't do too badly last year. I think most of us got the player of the season right, and sort of or top goal scorer right. But let's see where we're at this year. So, starting with you, Phil, who have you decided is going to be your player of the season for this coming season?
Jack Hinshelwood.
Good call.
I just think he's just been he was getting better and better last season. He's very highly regarded by the manager. So long as we don't go and bloody sell him, I think he's going to come on leaps and bounds. I think he's going to be our player of the season. He's going to be one of those players that does everything and starts getting it right a lot more often.
Vicky, do you agree with Phil?
No.
Good.
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good, but I'm having to wing this because, like I said, I didn't really read the questions in advance. So I will just pluck one out of the air. In fact, I'm going to pluck seven out of the air on all of these questions, but I will pluck one out of the air and go Vukcevic.
Okay.
This is not fair. The two that I might have gone for, what people have already gone for.
Oh, poor.
I
I
I'm going
know.
to confirm that I actually have also gone for Vukcevic.
Okay, well, yeah, but you're supposed to be done last. Marcus, who have you gone for?
I am going to go for what will be now, I believe, when they do it, number 13, Pascal Gross. I think this is going to be, they are going to rely on him a lot this season, and he is going to be, as just talked about the younger players stepping up. But I think, when I've
Yeah,
seen
he's
Pascal Gross,
vital, isn't he?
I will say, when we were in that sticky run, which it was last season, the way he was talking and saying, our this is not good enough, and we need to, it was like that's a bloke who is a strong dressing room presence, and I'm glad that we signed him back, and I think he will be, as almost a swan song because he's not getting any younger, blah blah blah. But I think,
Yeah, I worry about how much pace he's lost.
I wouldn't worry. He lost weight. He actually, when he came back, he looked leaner.
He
So,
did actually. And also, who would be want to be a recipient of a Pascal Gross stare?
he, I think, just his goals, and assists, he is the assist king. He's going to
Yeah.
be one of the senior pros that are probably going to step up even more if
Yeah.
he hasn't already to fill this Danny Welbeck, James Milner, blah 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 shaped holes
Sure.
that are there. So yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to
Okay.
be absolutely vital, isn't he? Right, go on in, Shandy.
I'm going to go for Vukcevic because we like voting for defenders for player of the season. And he's a new one. He's made a good impression already. I think if he can add a few goals to that as well, I found this a very difficult question to answer because I'm still not entirely sure what the team is going to be at the end of the season from what it starts with. It could be extremely
It's never the
different.
same.
Because
Yeah.
we've got so many people that would be starting, I would go Jack second, Jack Stephanie up
Yeah.
there. But my gut instinct said Vuskovic.
Okay,
Yeah.
Alan.
Right. What I'm going to go for is I was going to go for either Vukcevic or Hinshelwood, and I think I agree with Phil there. I think that his improvement is his line of improvement is improvement curve. That's the one I was looking for. Is such that I think he could do brilliant, but just to be different, therefore. I think that if big if we're going to have an improved defence, it always makes one person look a lot better. So my player of the season prediction will be Bart Verbruggen. And we've only ever
Yeah.
had, I think, three or four goalies that have ever been player of the season.
Yeah.
So, and also,
Okay.
Marcus, here's one for you. We've never had someone who's been player of the season three times.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. There we go. Oh.
Wow.
So,
Well,
okay.
I've also gone for Vukcevic because I mean that tackle in front of the North Stand was greeted with such a roar of appreciation, and the fact that I think he's going to score a lot of goals, I think he is going to be a big threat from set pieces. So we want it, we've lost the goals of Danny. We need goals, and we don't get enough goals from defence. So I think that is going to be
Okay.
something we're going to get from him. And I just think that he's just a wholehearted blood and thunder guy, and it's the sort of player that. The fans get behind. I mean, obviously you've got Ferdy as well, who's also another favourite, won it last year. He could be in there. I agree with Hinch, but I'm going to go with Vukcevic. Okay, Andy, who is going to be your king of the goals this season?
Okay, I found this very difficult because it is the great unknown. So I'm going to go and pick a player I do know, and I think it's going to be Jack Hinshelwood because
Okay.
I think he suits. I agree with Phil. I think this is a real breakout season for him in that he's going to step up. I think he'll be given more responsibility and more opportunity. And the more he plays, the more he's going to be losing defenders in the box and popping up here, there, and everywhere to the complete surprise of the defenders and sticking away the odd goal. I don't think he'll be get a load of goals. I'm thinking like in sort of like the 9-10 range, because again, I think we'll share the goals around. But I think he's going to be up there.
Okay, Vicky, who's going to make the net bulge for you?
I was going to pick Hinchinbrook, but I'm not going to be boring and going for the same option as someone else. So I will just pluck another one out of the air and go Diego Gomez.
Yeah, good
Well,
attacking.
second on the list last year behind Welbeck. Scored a lot of goals. Marcus, do you agree?
Well, I'd thought about this, and I'm gonna. I mean, it's not kind of it's hedging my bets, but because I thought actually I'm going to say no one because I think there will be no out and out top scorer this season. The goals will be spread, as Andy suggests. But obviously, if you're actually looking for a name, then it would be Jack Hinshelwood. But my, if I'm allowed to say nobody, then that would be my choice because I think we'll have four or five players on about, you know, seven or eight goals each, I think. I don't think.
I'm writing down nobody. That's with Hinch in brackets just in case, because I know.
Not
But
in.
okay, Phil, what about you?
Which of the Greek blokes is the one that's not still crocked?
Costas.
Babis.
Him.
How about
Well, I
him?
was going to pick Gomez, and I was thinking Jack Hinchwood as well, but I don't want to pick the same as everyone else.
Are
So
these
let's
the ones you
go.
sent to me earlier, Phil, by the way? You changed your mind.
Well,
For, what Phil
before
says
I
is.
sent them to you, before I was thinking Gomez after he did sort of show a bit of style last season. Jack Hinchwood, bit of a wild card, but no, I'm gonna go with the Greek bloke that's not injured.
Okay, Alan.
Well, I mean, again, I think bets are covered here. And I think that the logical one is Hinshelwood because not only has he got the potential to be the breakout player, I think that also the half season or third of the season he spent playing further up top, you can see he's getting better and better at it. Where a couple of times he's been looking a bit lost and a bit sort of, well, I mean, this the thing that's going to make it a breakout season is if he does well up front without Welbeck being there. Then, and when I say Welbeck not being there, not being a mentor, then I think that then we've got a truly great player on our hands. So I'm going to say it's kind of heart and head. I'm going to go for Jack Hinshelwood as a top scorer, but given what I said at the beginning of last season, and he started this season just gone absolutely terribly, I think I'm going to hold out a hope for Rutter to do well as well.
So, what am I writing? Hinch or Rutter?
Both.
You can't.
Hinch
Well,
brackets Rutter. Listen, we're hang on. How many people can actually say they've named one player and one player only?
Andy, Phil, and Vicky. Having gone for everyone else first.
I'm actually going to buck the trend and go for someone else here.
Go on, Andy.
Go on, then.
I am going to go.
You're going to go for Vuskovic, aren't you?
No, I'm going to go Yassin Ayari.
Yeah.
I think that he was scoring a lot. He scored a few goals last season. He's, I don't think he's universally loved yet. I don't think he's one of those players who's there. But I think that he had a really good summer, really great World Cup. I think he's getting really good at arriving in the box late as well. And I think he's not afraid to take on a shot from distance. I think he's not afraid to get in the 6 yard box. I think he could have a breakout season and actually come away with the top goal scorer award.
I think if Marcus's prediction of nobody, and by which means four or five or six players, each having five, maybe six goals, I suspect Ayari will be one of those players,
Yeah, I think so. I think you're. I
rather
don't
than
think.
sort of like an 8, 9, 10.
I mean, I really want it to be Babis. I think that he has got the potential to actually be that focal point, but I just don't think that Hertzler trusts him so much at the moment.
You got me.
Okay, right. Now, appearances from the under 21s in the first team this season. Now, I think we're gonna have a few this year.
Okay, well, we've got a crack on here, so let's just have a quick number from each of you. Vicky?
10. Oh, a number of appearances. No, number of players. Yeah, 10.
10 from the under
From the
21s going to make into
21s.
the first team.
Well, you said players aged under 21. They don't have to come through the 21s, do you? Like, Babis is under 21. Vuskovic,
No,
well, I'm
it
just going with 10.
means from the Rumble Cup up to, like, yeah.
okay.
Those who play at Lancing, in other words.
Yeah. Andy?
Three.
I'm going to go three.
Al three.
Changing the
Phil?
rule here. Under
Huh?
21.
You know what we mean.
Two.
Two.
I'm going to go four. I'm going
Okay,
four.
I'll tell you what, if Vicky's 10 is right, I'm gonna swoon splat.
Al,
Right.
you said
Right.
three,
Can
didn't
I
you?
ask this question then? Right. This is gonna be this is a fairly random one. The number of miles traveled in Europe this season, and by which I mean this, it's as the crow flies from stadium to stadium, according to Google Maps, one way, so not there and back. How many miles will the Albion travel this season in Europe? Let's go with you first, Marcus.
I think it will be a very quick say. I'm going to say as a number 6,000. There you go.
Okay, can I just point out that obviously we are st our starting point is 1,438 with Tromso.
Phil?
I Google Earth this and predicted all the way to Istanbul, and I came up with 9,398.
Excellent. Okay, Andy.
12,371.
You're going to
Okay.
Azerbaijan, are you?
Vicky?
1,439.
1,439.
Oh,
And I'm going to Tromso with her, and she's the one who thinks we're going to lose.
wrap up. I'm going to go 8,032 because that was the number of runs that the late Gary Sobers scored in his Test career. So 8,032 for me.
I'm going 7,500.
75.
7,500.
Okay.
Okay. And wild cards, people. Here we go. Here we go. This is the annual Andy Bass wild card. What you got for me, my friend?
It's actually quite a dull one this year, but my wild card prediction is that our goal difference will be plus 10 at least.
Ooh.
Okay, Marcus.
I think that this season Fabian Hürsler will not be serving any touchline bans. I don't know how he manages to keep getting booked and sent to the stands and all that for someone who's. But there you go. So he will be in the dugout for every single game this season, unless he's got a family emergency or something.
Okay, Phil, I liked your wild card that you sent to me. What was it again?
Bart Verbruggen will score a goal in a penalty shootout.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Oh,
That's the sort of thing,
that's
Phil.
a proper wild
That is
card.
a good one, actually.
Okay, Vicky.
All difference.
So this can be anything, can it? Okay. Does it have to be Albion?
Preferably, but don't
Preferably.
worry if you're
Preferably.
not.
Okay. In that case, well, I'll have two if I can. One, I predict that Fabian Hürzler will not shave his hair to a grade two again this season. And then the second one, I think if I can go with something really left field and out of it, I will say that Brighton and Hove Albion will beat Fulham at some stage this season.
Wild card, not absolutely mental card.
That's the
I
wildest of all cards.
thought mine was stupid.
Fulham for Palace, I can tell you that.
Oh yeah,
Well, I did think
no.
about Villa, but I thought it's too soon. It's too soon to predict.
Okay,
I
yeah.
think better, isn't it? So I'll go
I'm
with
going.
Fulham.
Hinshelwood will get more goals than he will yellow cards.
Go.
Doesn't seem that wild.
And I have got Lewis Dunk will play no more than 25 games this season.
Good one.
Does that include sub appearances?
It's easier to
Okay,
do it
so
that
he
way, but
won't start more than 25 games.
yeah.
Okay, right, got to wrap it up, mate.
And that's it for the pre-season preview. Obviously, we'll be back next week when Vicky will tell us just how cold Tromso was and how she very much enjoyed our 6-0 win on the plastic pitch. But until then, thank you so much to Alan Ware. Thank you to Andy Bass, to Vicky Rees, to Marcus Hancock, to Phil Shelley. And you have been listening to the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all again next week. Cheers. Bye.